Aloha.
Hey, everybody.
Hello, hello.
Hey, guys.
Hello.
So, I have a question. Did you all discuss what you wanted to work on today? I know we were just getting started with the Byron Katie work last time. I'm happy to continue with that. Or if you want to talk about spiritual centers, I know you want to talk about the life purpose levels as well. Mm-hmm. So was there any consensus as to what people wanted to do? Want to continue with Byron Katie?
We created a second weekly meeting to do homeworks and stuff. So we had our first one of those on this past Sunday, and we did started with the Loving What Is kind of worksheets on that.
Okay. How did it go?
I think it went well.
Yeah.
Bill?
Any questions on it? Hey, Joanne. Hey, Gerilyn. Not seeing Gerilyn, but. So we're just checking in. I guess we got a few more folks we're waiting for here. Was there any group consensus like, gee, that went pretty well, but we had questions on this, on the Byron Katie? I was just going to actually print up my...
I think we should hold off on the questions so we get a couple... We only got it through a couple people, so maybe we get through a bunch, and then we'll develop a bunch of questions.
Yeah, we did Allison and Bill T on Sunday.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And just, what is that? The Byron Katie is LNT week one, LNT two. Byron Katie worksheet.
And I saw that Joanne said something about our spiritual life purpose archetype. And if we do archetypes, my question would be, is that, let's say we figure out our archetype in a certain chakra point, whatever it may be. So what? Yeah, so what?
Well, when you figure it out.
That and $3 will get us a coffee at Starbucks.
So. Exactly. And let me just print one of these. Okay. So here's the deal with figuring out, especially one of your spiritual centers. Mm-hmm. When you figure it out, the last thing you would ever say in a million years is, so what? Because it would directly define all of these things that you've been dancing around in your life. And it allows you to sort of just go, oh shit, that's always been true. Not just true and kind of like, yes, I'm totally the, whatever it is, the prince, the king, the, you know, whatever you choose. That's a rational thought. When you get it right, when you get your chart right, anything you get in your chart that's like, oh, Jesus, that's true, you know, because the shadow and the light of it are true at every second of every day, both are vying for your attention. And when you feel that quality as being this constant push and pull and decision maker for you, it's like, it's literally like, you know, the thing about the archetypes is that if they're in your chart, if you actually have them in your chart, you have already had to make some difficult choices today from each one of them. Each one of them is interacting with the world. You know, even though your brain is like, I'm totally fine, I'm doing my thing, I'm doing my work, I got my Byron Katie sheet, I am on it. Your archetypes are calling from other dimensions elements that you need to make decisions on. And they're not easy, and they're not, and it's not just sort of like a black and white. Once I got it, I'm done. You know, like you said, it's like, it's never like what, you know, that and a cup of coffee. That would be the Enneagram, you know, or DISC or one of those things. You figure out your profile in one of those, and it's just like, yeah, you might as well just go and get a coffee or read your tea leaves. But when you figure this stuff out, it's like wow, because nobody's going to make you do it. Nobody's going to say, well, that's what you have to be because that's how you took the test. You've got to come to it on your own. And then you know it's right. You know, at first, you know it's right because everybody else goes, oh my God, yeah, that's it in you. That's that feeling. That's that thing that I couldn't put my finger on, okay, about you, oh, in you. And that's the tricky part about it. So yeah, and I know you've struggled. I know you've struggled with your chart because it's a bit of a mental exercise for you. But right. But it's got to be a feeling in there. So go ahead.
Right. So let's perfect. Say we can like just to pull one randomly. Like let's say I have night and third chakra, and everyone's like, oh yeah, that's exactly right. What do I do with that information in my life? Because what I look
let's,
at.
Well, let's address whether you actually have night in the third chakra.
No, I just made it up. I literally just made that up. Yeah.
Well, there are no hypotheticals here. If you got a chart, if you have a question on your chart, you know.
Okay, so I know my chart. In the spiritual life purpose point, I have architect. So, architect. And architect, like world builder, architect, that kind of thing. And that was something that we did before. So we settled on that. So
who's we? So we don't settle on anything. You have to come to terms with these things.
It felt good to me. Okay. Other people were like, yes, like you said, they put the finger on it. It felt
architect.
Right. Architect.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. So so how does it feel? I mean, if your spiritual life purpose is architect.
Let me builder, it, like designing and building.
No. I'm just saying it's like the, you know, or call it builder, but don't call it architect if it's not architect.
Well,
so architect has, especially now, you know, your archetypes need to be named, and when you say the word, it has to be. You have to go. Oh yeah. So for my spiritual life purpose is really easy. Professor of the Reese method, you know. Mm-hmm. So it's a teacher. But it's not just a teacher because I'm not teaching anybody else's shit. I can't stand teaching other people's. I don't want to learn their stuff so I can teach it. I want to learn their stuff so I can synthesize it into something else and then have it prove what I already believed. You know, what I was trying to prove from the beginning. It's that everybody's got a piece of it and I'm going to integrate it in. So that's the Reese method. That's what I call the Reese method, that synthesis. So do I do that in everything, every single thing I do? Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, never. And I look back, I was like, from the moment I was teaching it, like I started teaching at 13 years old or 14 years old. And I remember my first paid lesson, paid private lesson was a 6 o'clock in the morning lesson with a doctor and his wife. And I was like, no one else would do 6 o'clock in the morning lesson. So I was like, I'm on it. And I went out there and I remember just sort of saying, okay, here it is. And I started teaching my way. And I was like, you're going to do this. You're going to walk that way. You're going to do this. And I think back, it's just like, that's what I've always done. And I've never liked the way teachers taught. So it's like, it's a theme within my entire life. Everything has done that. So if you're going to call it architect, what were you building at 3, 5, 10, 15, 20? What were you constructing?
I always, on all parts of my life, the reason why we came to this is that I do design and build out complex systems and solutions to various things. And I do it in work, in play, with friends, all the time.
Okay.
So that's what we meant by architect.
Like, right. Is that more of a, I don't know what the, I mean, I guess Bill Schuller would be know more about sort of like, is that more of a analyst like a programmer, some sort of a programmer, because an architect, the architect archetype, if you look it up, is, you know, is going to be really about building buildings, building structures, building things in the world. And I'm not saying that, so for instance, I liked I think in the Matrix, they called the guy who was the computer architect. Program that was the mastermind of the thing was called the architect, but he was creating structure, like entire societal structures, you know, and he was the architect of this whole programming. So he was sort of like the ultimate programmer but they called him the architect because he was creating real, like he was creating a real world with his, you know, in each moment. So I don't have a problem with sort of like this idea that you are this creative person, but architect doesn't have a, you know, I mean, it's close, but it has sort of like, there's something else in there, you know, there's something more, more Jonathan, you know, it's more like, because remember, this is not the way you do business it's the way you do business in your shadow, but it's also the way you do business in the world. It's like, that is the closest thing to a job you have in your chart.
Right. But that brings me to the my second question. We never really answered the first, but if the archetypes are so hyper-personalized to each and every one of us, are they really even archetypes anymore?
Absolutely. I mean, you know, that's like that. So I know that the professor of the Reese method, which is my element of the teacher archetype. So there's a teacher archetype. I've taught since, you know, two teacher parents. You know, I've been teaching since I was just, as soon as I could teach anything, I was doing it, and I've never stopped doing it. I was like, I just was doing, you know, like the four, we're getting ready for Awaken. So I'm going to do those four statements. What do you do? Who do you do it for? You know, how do you like to present it? And then what do they get from it? And I was like, what do I do? What have I always done? And I was like, well, let's see. I've taught, you know, with a couple of odd jobs in between, but it's basically been a lifetime of never doing anything other than some kind of high performance teaching or learning high performance to try to find, go to teachers that were going to teach me to know how to do it better. So does that answer your question? Does that tell me again, what was the...
Well, there were two questions. One, and we got off track about talking about specifically me, and the reason why I made up a made up thing is that I didn't want to go down that rabbit
hole. No, but this is it. If you have a question, it's about you. So you want to say, okay, so if it's architect, what kind of architect are you? You know, I see, where do you have your baker? Cause it's like, it's almost like, you know, keep in mind that a baker could bake and, create things. There's like a fun quality within you that archetype, you know, remember, this is the big one. This is the big deliverable for you, mm-hmm. right? Your deliverable is going to be in that spiritual life purpose point. And everybody, as we're talking about this, should be thinking about theirs. What is in your spiritual life purpose point? And we can just stick with this today. Joanne, did you want to go?
Can I
go?
Chime in? First of all, I just want to say hi, everybody. I'm so happy to be here. Thrilled to be holding space with you guys in this program this year. And I just wanted to kind of address Jonathan's question. What I heard when you were asking Jonathan is that you want to understand what's the why do we even care? And I think sometimes what might happen might be helpful to help you understand why, at least for me, was to understand the archetype. When I learned the defense as well as the core quality of it, I could start to understand myself better. And I could understand why I had that defense, where it was coming from, and that I wanted to shift it and what I wanted to shift it to. And so for me, it's this exercise of like, oh, there's my core, I have in my spiritual life purpose, a tender-hearted community builder. And, you know, wherever I go, I'm wanting to build that community. But the flip side of it is for me is isolation. Like I'll just isolate. And I know when I'm doing that's my defense. And that's real important for me is to shift it. And I know when I'm being that tender-hearted community builder, that is where I flow. That's where I'm happiest. That's where I find my joy. And that's where I want to stay connected.
So is, because I don't think Jonathan was asking that for himself. I think he was asking it on behalf of the least a few of us in the group. So is it literally then just a reminder? Like you're looking through your chart someday wondering why you suddenly got divorced and you're like, oh, it's because of this archetype. Oh, yes.
It's my physical life purpose point. I wasn't paying attention to it. No, it's not that. I mean, yes, you can. I mean, I guess you can use it for that. But what Joanne is talking about, if I can take it to the next level, is she's saying that internally, every day she has to struggle between giving herself and keeping for herself. Okay. So she's got plenty of charismatic leader in there and plenty of knowledgeable achiever and really strong team player, both value and energy. So she's got that struggle between independence and service. Independence and service. And service sometimes is her independence. So she's independently serving. So she's a tender-hearted community builder. So it's not just community supporter, community builder. And so there's that leadership thing. And then at the same time, that same leader's like, well, I'm not doing shit for people because they're not giving back. And I, you know, whatever it is, I need time for myself. And she has to, and she's struggling with the shadow and the light, or the doing it or don't doing it, period, constantly when it's real.
And when I'm not flowing, like when it doesn't feel right in my life, it's like, okay, where am I stuck? And the archetypes like help me figure out where I'm stuck and not flowing. It's like, oh, that, you know, so that's how it works for me.
So I guess, you know, one of the things that I'm going to be doing at Awaken this year is I'll be talking about each of the elements that we teach, profiles, chakras. And one of the exercises that I'm doing to clarify what we do more, which I tend to keep it at this higher level, like we were talking about, it's like, it's really important for you to get. So I just make this assumption that if I say to you that you, when you feel your spiritual life purpose point, you will know, you'll just have this knowing that you struggle in your life around what your contract is in every moment. Remember, the spiritual life purpose point manages, tells the physical life purpose point what it is you're supposed to do. So now I've said all that and it's like, and you're like, okay, so now, all right, so set physical life purpose point is a whole concept. And it's a concept of everything I have as a resource right now, everything, including your intelligence, everything is in the physical life purpose point. The spiritual life purpose point says, this is what you're supposed to do with it for the duration of this lifetime. Okay. And so, you know, and now that's just a bunch of words, right? So now what if I said, so the little exercise for me is to break it down and say, which Joanne just tried to do and did a great job at it. And I'll try to do the same thing, which is when you know your spiritual life purpose point, when you know it, by knowing it, you can then know in every situation, what am I here to deliver? Okay? That's what that one teaches you. So in each one's different, but this one is I need to learn my physical life purpose points so I can, in every life situation, know why I am being presented with this and what I have to deliver in that. Okay? That's what it is. So we're not teaching you anything that's not practical to your life. So if you're faced with a situation and you go back to the lie, you know, this myth of the fact that we can become anything we want to become, I can do this, I can do that, I can do this, then it's when you get to the spiritual life purpose point, you absolutely know there's only one thing you can ever do that will ever make you happy. And that thing is whatever, what you're going to describe in there. That is the key. What am I going to do? And like I said, it's the closest thing to your job. It's what you create in the world through your work. Okay. So it's your, it's, and that is your, that is that deliverable. Spiritual life purpose point is the deliverable. Aha point is not. Aha point is the vehicle that you use to deliver it. All right. So for me, I synthesize. It's like my synthesizer is in the physical life purpose point. And in a way, that's kind of like the spiritual, the aha point or the awakening point is that point where you use a method to get there. So for me, I use humor and sort of like this kind of like, I don't play by anybody's rules around how things should fit together. And then that creates an idea. It creates this thing I want to deliver, which is I want to deliver something that isn't, that makes sense to me. And it has not just makes sense to me, but I've directly experienced as a truth in the world that nobody else is paying attention to. Like what we're doing right here. This is not an obvious thing to do. None of this work and putting archetypes in your chakras is not, if it were easy, everybody would be doing it. Because plenty of people have heard about what we do, but nobody has, I've never seen anybody attempt what we do, what we try to do.
Right. Just as a correction, I just checked my chart. The matrix archetype is in my aha point, not my spiritual life purpose point.
So the matrix
architect, like the architect you'd like you described the matrix, that kind of architect is in my aha point, not my SPL.
Architect. Okay.
And so in technology and then, anyway, like the architect, there's database architects, there's system architects, there's network architects. So there's a whole bunch. The only thing that I wonder about with Jonathan, since he's got the creativity thing, is like most of the time, I mean, you can really creatively set up any of that stuff, but you're working with what you have. Like there's no new technology necessarily. So it's like, oh, I've got this server and this network and this program running and stuff like that. And you kind of have to architect it that way. So if Jonathan, you feel like you have more creativity, then it might be some other, like, I think the Matrix one is pretty good, but.
Yeah, I mean, like I had written down architect and then the flavor of it was world builder, like the Matrix architect, that because he built a world. So that's what I had for the aha.
Right. And then I would want you to show me all the worlds you've built and the world you built today already.
I think we're sitting in it.
We're sitting in it. Okay. How is it? How is that? What, by the way, if that was the awakening point, what was the spiritual life purpose point?
It says playful iconoclast.
Playful iconoclast.
Thank you for building the world today, Jonathan.
You're welcome.
Well, so, but keep in mind that the matrix architect, so now I would agree on, so the matrix architect does not belong in the spiritual life purpose point, but it's something that you use as a sort of like an idea. It's sort of like it's kind of like a motivating idea for you that I can change the world, that I can be a world changer, and I can kind of, and that's where I work my, that's sort of like my my color palette where I'm mixing colors, but then the color comes out as a playful iconoclast. So I'm just sort of like, you know, I'm not going to listen, and I'm going to listen, but not believe. I'm gonna be a seller, not a buyer, and I'm gonna do it playfully. So now that I can see works. And when you get serious about working, right, your life sucks. Like Joanne said, when she stays, you know, isolating and away from people and things like that, which would be her spiritual life purpose point, that's sort of the antithesis of what she's ultimately here to do, even though she needs some of that time. So she needs to have that balance. For you, you need to make enough money, you know, like working for your mom and doing that sort of stuff to make your life work. But that's not going to be where you shine or where you are the most happy. It'll be something that you do because, well, you know, everybody's got to make money doing something. And if you can't do it strictly as the playful iconoclast, which would mean, you know, like you were going to do, start your own hotel on the top of some mountain in Costa Rica or something, you know, it's like totally, totally, no one's going to think about doing that. You know, I'll do that. You know, if one of those things falls into your lap and you figure it out and it does work, then great. But if not, then you have to understand that playful iconoclast needs to, well, like you're doing here. So this is a perfect example. That was years ago, Dan Millman. I did a couple sessions with Dan Millman. And he said some really cool stuff that has stuck with me my whole life. But he said, basically, you're a guy that the job you're doing right now isn't, because I was a tennis pro and running a big country club and that stuff. And he said, it may not be your real purpose and, you know, the thing that's going to really do anything for you, but you can totally survive on a really good hobby. Right. Mm-hmm. And so for me, energy work and and going to the school and doing this stuff and this little building, this was a hobby that then became my career. But so this hobby of sort of helping create this group, keep the group going, be an integral part of the playful iconoclast. We're not going to wait for Reese to tell us what we're going to do. We're going to figure it out. You know, we're going to integrate this. We're going to do some things. So I like that, but that makes that, those two make sense in your chart, but understanding that the aha point, you know, when you say, well, I have the matrix archetype, I've got this matrix architect, you know, I've got that kind of mind. You can completely confuse that with being the matrix architect, rather than having it in one of the energy centers that is one of the contributors to a much larger experience of life. Does that make sense? It's not like all, you know, 12 of your chakras line up around that. That would be your soul point. Mm-hmm. But it's not. That's where, like I said, that's where you're mixing your, that's that awakening point is where you mix the paints on your palette and how you do it. I use a brush. I use how do you do that? And then when you go to paint, that's what you deliver. That deliverable is the spiritual life purpose point. And you'll see it over and over and over again, or you'll see yourself pretending you're somebody that you're not. And that's really that spiritual life purpose point is when you're not living your purpose, like when you're not taking action on that deeper purpose within you, because you don't know what it is. You think, you figure out, well, I got the knight archetype. I must be a knight. No, that's one contributing factor toward the greater understanding of who you are, rather than each one is who you are. Does that make sense? So if your knight steps in at some point and throws your coat down on a puddle so somebody can walk over it, you're like, bam, that was my knight. But then your playful iconoclast tries to sell her on something. Mm-hmm. Right? A date with you, maybe. You know, it's like, hey, how'd that go? That was pretty good. I'm that kind of charming guy, you know, and now your deliverable comes in. Does that make sense? So you need to understand that each of these contribute toward a whole, but each one is not what you are individually. Mm-hmm. So you don't hang your hat on any one. They're all like, they might jump into your body at some point and go, whoa, time to be a knight. Or, you know, or time to be the shadow of the knight, which is so, you know, blocked, you know, the shield over the heart. You know, they're romantic, but not but not in depth. You know, they don't have that commitment. You know, they're in it for the next conquest.
And I just want to add something to Reese. That like, this is our dharma, right? This is our life purpose. This is what we're here to do. And it's like, this is our obligation. The biggest sin we can do is not be who we are. So how can this not be the most important, like a priceless information for us to know?
And I guess back to your first question, Jonathan, is how much do you value a cup of Starbucks coffee?
$4 worth. Huh?
Yeah. I would say your spiritual life purpose point might be a little more valuable mm-hmm. than that. But if it's like, but if you're like one of these guys, it's like, oh, I worship coffee, you know?
The point of the question was like, is this really philosophical navel gazing? I mean, if going back to relating it back to the profiles, I can see if someone's a CI, then just having the thought, having the idea, having the realization is fantastic. But if you're a CLKATP, you want to go into action with it. And so I was trying to see, well, what do you go into action with that information with? And that's what brings the value.
So I want you to just, I want you to add that little moniker. So I can.
Mm-hmm.
I put this in my, you know, the reason I need to know what the spiritual life purpose point does is so I can what? Now I've told you all about it. I've already told you 15 things about it.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
So
deliverable.
So I can know what my deliverable is in any situation and try to align myself to that to have a happier, more fulfilled life.
Exactly. And if you have a happy, fulfilled life, there's no amount of money you could pay for that.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And if you align yourself with that principle within you that allows that bigger, because that's like the third chakra, the third chakra or the voice, you know, some of these ones that are the outgoing forces, right? So these outgoing forces have behind them all of the chakras. So filtering those in such a way and becoming really aware of the things you do, you know, so we talked about the spiritual life purpose point in the third chakra being a team. They're the closest things to each other. So if you want to know that what you're doing in this moment is serving your highest good, you have to be really clear on what your highest good even tastes like, feels like, smells like. And then you have to be watching that. Because what Joanne said was beautiful. It's like she knows when she's in, you know, community service and community building, she's building community and doing it from a very tenderhearted sort of place. She loves her life. And it's not that she doesn't love saying goodbye to everybody, but you know, but sometimes they've over kept their stay, right? It's just like, see you later, don't let the door hit you. But then very soon she feels like, oh boy, I'd like to get some more people around here, because it's not a conscious thought that's like, she's not coming from rule keeper on that, where there's a certain amount of time I spend alone. There's a certain amount of time I do here. There's a certain amount of time I do this. You can't figure your life out that way. You have to feel your way through it. When she needs time alone, she takes it. And the rest of the time, she wants to be with people serving.
Reese, I think we need some really practical, I think we need to do some really practical rehearsing with each person for, you know, this is the archetype. Like we just did with Jonathan. This is the knight, and this is how the knight serves the higher purpose, and you know, for each person, because I think that that's what will make it real.
Okay, let's do it.
Hear me.
So right next to Jonathan is.
You can't hear me.
Oh, Wendy. I can hear you. Hey, really, hey Wendy, I can hear you. You go ahead, Wendy. You go. You got.
I want to go because what? I have in my spiritual life purpose, Rodney Dangerfield, as we all know. And
that's
my
in your spiritual life purpose or your physical life purpose?
Spiritual. My physical life purpose is lower your expectations. And what I wanted to say before we decided to do this was that, so it's like my whole life I've been given grief for being such a wise ass.
Yeah.
And then I come to this school and then it's like, oh, but that's your spiritual life purpose and that's what you're supposed to be doing. And it's like, oh, fuck that. I mean, that's awesome because it makes me happy. But on the other hand, it also makes me, you know, I get such grief for it.
So, okay.
You know?
So what's the shadow? So this is perfect. So you love being a wise ass.
Well, right? I mean, it fulfills me on every level, apparently.
It does, right? That's the perfect example. Everybody will be the perfect example because we know you. You know you're getting to know who you are. Jonathan could see that that's how he plays in the game, and that's how it works for you. Having the sort of like the lower your expectations, Rodney Dangerfield, those go hand in hand. But this wise ass. So the difference is between Rodney Dangerfield. And the reason we chose Rodney is that your real power is, you know, what Rodney does is he puts himself in the joke. He makes it safe for you because ultimately the joke's about him. He laughs at himself. He laughs. He tells the story about how people disrespect him. I get no respect, you know. And he's like, and of course he's standing there in his funny outfit and he's doing this and his eyes are bugging out. And he's like, I don't know why I get no respect, you know. And he's enormously funny because he can play that role. And he doesn't. So the wise ass has the shadow of poking other people. And you wouldn't be getting
about you instead of about me.
Well, that's the thing. That knowing that you have a wise ass means that there's a part of you. I mean, do you think Rodney Dangerfield can tell all those jokes to so many people in the world that get no respect in a way that they can laugh about it without him being one of them?
When you
really deliver in class, when I watch you really deliver in class with your classmates, you come with hat in hand. You're about to tell a joke, but you're in the joke. You're like, oh my God, because we can feel that it hit your thread. It hit your thing. Now you can say, man. Yeah, and then you tell a joke about it, and you hold that playful kind of like, you know, we're all in this together. Doesn't it suck? And it's like, and when you say, right? And when you say that, I was like, I don't know, my brother always had a way with words, you know, and he would say stuff like, of course, you know, life sucks, then you die. And it's just like, and the way he said it was just like, it was so like you could tell he'd felt that and he'd and just like, you know, but to call it out and say, yeah, that's how it goes. Or, you know, I remember one time he came back from a golf lesson or something and I was like, how did it go? Cause I'm always like Mr. Competitive and trying to do really good. And he came back and he looked at me and he goes, I'm only this much above completely sucking. And right. And so,
yeah.
And so the real joke is, it's like, oh my God, we all completely suck at everything we do. We just are pretending that we're like, oh, I'm on the A team. I'm on this. Compared to a pro athlete, you're like, you're just barely picking up your racket. So, you know, don't pretend, don't put on airs. And Rodney says, let's not put on airs, folks. We are all just the most pathetic creatures that have ever walked the planet. And it's incredibly funny. It's incredibly funny how we try to be something special all the time when we're special not by doing that. We're special by just being us. And when you deliver that, That's your wise ass to the world, to the universe, to everything. And it incorporates people. When you get in trouble is when it ends up being a little bit more about, oh yeah, I'll be a wise ass to you. You know, then it appears like you're like judging. And that would be the shadow of the wise ass. Does that make sense?
Yeah, totally. Thanks.
Because you're, that's it. And it's just like, you know, and now in a few minutes, you're going to come up with something funny about just what we just said, you know, whereas right now you're like, oh shit. Okay. You know, so, but the truth is that even that's funny. It's funny that, you know, that everyone in here is going to have a really tough time not seeing, you know, that you're not going to see this because it's so massive. You know, like I said, if you can figure out your spiritual life purpose point and really get it. I mean, I like I said, I've got my, you know, professor of the Reese method, but it's so much more than that. Because now, like, what happens if COVID continues and the professor of the Reese method is like, it's a totally different type of school. It's a totally different type of deliverable. It's like, does the Reese method change? No. I'll find a way, and I need to be open to what's the next version of this. You know, and whereas that the shadow of that is, I'm right. This will have to work. I'll have to keep this going. You know, so each one of them has a shadow as well. All right, who else we got? That was great, Wendy. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Reese.
Carolyn, I just want to make a note for when we're doing the class. I think when we're going through archetypes, it'll help us if we identify the light and the shadow of each one. So in our life, we can see which one we're in at a given time.
Agreed.
Yeah. How do you use that skill? How do you use that gift to, you know, that gets you in trouble or you know, blocks your connection with people? All right. Who else wants to go? How about Judy? We haven't heard from you. I can't even see you there, Judy. Maybe she's on the phone.
Here.
Hey, Judy.
I've been here the whole time.
Yeah, I saw you. I saw your thing, but yeah.
Oh, okay.
I didn't see you on screen. So let's go. Judy's spiritual life purpose point.
Hold on. My spiritual life purpose point is a revealing guide.
Revealing guide. Okay. And just to sort of balance it out, what's the physical life purpose point?
A loyal protector.
Okay. Realizing guide. Okay. So
revealing.
Oh, revealing. Sorry. That's my writing. Let me write that again. Revealing, probably because I'm spelling it wrong. I don't even know how to spell it. Okay, revealing guide. All right. So, how does that work for you? How does that, so in every situation, are you a revealing guide? Because that's your deliverable.
So I was thinking my deliverable, what was in my soul point.
Your soul point is your character.
Okay.
Your spiritual life purpose point is the closest thing to what your spirit says. So your soul has all this beautiful Judy energy. Like you define, there's never been a Judy like you before. Okay. So your soul is the Judy. Okay. And then the Judy that lives out in totally like four dimensions away, and is infinite in its, you know, compared to a little tiny human body, which is probably like a speck of sand, compared to your soul. That energy gets leveled down to a human body on a tiny little planet in the middle of a trillion stars and trillion galaxies. And you're living this little purpose and on that purpose, there is this one point that says you're going to be, the physical life purpose point is you're going to be given all of this that you can work with as a, in the solid realm and conscious realm and all that sort of stuff. And then this is what you need to do with it. This is why you're there. This is your contract for what you're going to deliver. And so the revealing guide would be something that you would be able to see ever since you were a little girl, ever since, you know, something. And you know, people come to you. I totally see it in your work. But I don't know if that's, you know, what else is there? What else is in there?
Well, Allison says, which might go along with this, she calls me the truth talker. Like, I don't even know how to explain it, but I'll just like tell people things about themselves that maybe they needed to know. But my loyal protector helps me do it in a nice way.
Well, so that was actually, I'm glad you said that, because I just want you to listen to what you said. You just talked about, I think, what your core quality is in there, but you gave an excuse for why you do it. You were like, the reason I'm nice is because my loyal protector makes me nice. No, you're nice just because you're nice. That
okay,
archetype,
I'm not that nice, but
what?
Well, I'm not that nice, Reese. But
okay.
I mean, so maybe I said it backwards. I want to protect people, right?
No, I get the loyal protector is fine. That's my purpose point. I'm there. I'm here to help people stay safe in the world. You're a knowledgeable achiever, your team player, this sort of connecting, that's all key. Yeah, that works perfectly. The truth talker, your actual deliverable that I experience, if we're really talking about what you always deliver, is something that is, there is a guiding quality, but there's a humbleness to it. There's a safety in where Wendy was saying, I get in so much trouble being a wise ass. The last thing you end up being is a wise ass to people. If anything, you bend over backward in the shadow of it to guide without taking any chance of hurting anybody's feelings. You know, so you say things in a very, you know, like we said, we talked about the achiever level or whatever that is. But I think I like the truth talker idea, but it should be like the gentle truth talker, a gentle. So when you acknowledge what it is that you do, and it can be, you know, it can be a truth teller or truth talker or whatever that is, which you definitely, I mean, people come to you, they want to know, you have the wisdom, you know, and it could be, you know, what is it? Wise. It's wise woman. Like Wendy, wise ass woman. And then there's the wise, and then there's the wise, you know, judgmental woman, but yours is like the gentle old, you know, sort of like you're like an old soul type of an energy, and probably have been forever. You know, there's like a part of you that would that is okay with people not understanding you, people not getting the limelight, you not getting, you know, it's like they're not going to understand, and I'm not going to push them at this point to understand. You know, there's a part of you that will humbly allow something that someone with more ego would just be like, I'm not letting that go by. You face this right now. Come over here and talk to me, you know, and I don't see you. You might do that some of the time, but it's not your nature. And, you know, and it's your nature to sort of allow. And so there's like a softness to it. So I like the idea that you reveal, your revealing guide and truth talker are the same person, right? That's just another word for the same, what you're trying to describe there.
Yes.
But I think that what's important for you to understand is that it has a very gentle touch.
Okay.
And when it's not gentle is when you're in shadow. Because you still know what their problem is, but you're just fed up. And so you're going to say,
I think they're assholes at that point.
Right. You're an asshole. And this is, you know, and that's when you're in the shadow of that.
Okay.
Okay. Let's keep going. How about either of the bills? That was good, Judy. Thank you. That was awesome.
Yeah. Deb Peschler is driving to Michigan. So that's why she couldn't be here today.
Okay.
Just FYI. I think I was supposed to tell you.
That's okay. Whoever shows up, these are totally bonus things. So I love that we're getting to get to do them. But if you can make it, it's great. Either one of the bills. Let's go. Spiritual life purpose point.
Concierge.
And the physical life purpose point.
We have coward.
Okay. And that's, I mean, I love those, Bill. Those are totally you.
I'm glad you do.
Huh?
I'm glad you do.
Well, that's the whole thing. So that's a sign that they're real, because you struggle with them all the time. You know, it's like, we struggle with this. How do we do that? How do I keep delivering that? How do I stay the concierge? So the concierge, when you see a really good concierge, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's like they've been waiting there all night for you to come out of your hotel room, and they're just like, oh, I've been thinking about you since the moment you left in last night. Now I've got the perfect thing for you, and their whole purpose is helping you have the day of your life, right? That's what the concierge does, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And now it's hard, you know, on the concierge, because they probably don't get paid that well, and they probably, you know, it's never about them. And yet, your spiritual life purpose point has to become 100% about you. Does that make sense? So
yeah.
So your concierge, you have to see that concierge quality within you is just like, you are, you know, I don't know what, you're like a 10th degree black belt concierge. Okay? Other concierges are gonna come and just go, Bill is the man. He's the concierge's concierge. He's the grand poobah of concierge. And when you realize that, it's just like, nobody does it the way I do it. You see it as a gift that you have that can just allow other people to do, you know, to do so much more in their lives, to be so much more, to be helped, to be supported. And I don't know whether it's concierge or cabana boy or I don't know exactly, you know, it, whatever it happens to be, it's in that realm of service and caring and depth. But it's only when you argue with it from your rule keeper that says, you know, they can look up the goddamn place on their own. And as soon as you do that, you're in shadow.
Mm.
Can you see that?
Yep, absolutely. Yeah. Because I'll do that. I'll be like, they can deal with it. I don't want to deal with it.
What the hell? Let them deal with it. And then instantly, you don't feel good. Now, there's the side where you do need time for yourself. The concierge doesn't always work the desk, right? They're not always there. But what they have is, they always leave a message. It's like, here's the message is, you can always reach me at this number.
Yeah.
This is my time off, but you can reach me at this number. You can call me anytime and I'll get right back to you. You know, so you leave them your cell phone number, you leave them that, but it's like, I only work from here to here. And boy, when I work, I deliver. And then I enjoy my own life. And I go to the places that I tell them to go.
Mm-hmm.
And I enjoy those things. So then I can tell them more about them. Oh, I went to that same restaurant last night. It's incredible. I had this. It was spectacular. And now you're helping them even more rather than, fine, you go have your life, go have your fun times, and I'll just be here working the desk. Mm-hmm. It doesn't, you know, if that's actually your archetype, then you have to love it.
Yeah. So in that instance, like you said, when I leave a message and say, call me and whatever, and the instance where they call me and I don't get the message until, and I'm not able to respond, I feel guilty about not responding to them.
Right. But that's, but if it's on, so that's just where you start delineating. It's like, that was my time and I'm going to get back to them on my time at when I can do that. And I'm still going to be but when I do get on the phone with that person, there's no guilt, there's no shame, there's nothing. There's just, hi, I just got your message. Well, how can I help? And it's like, because you can't be the concierge except for when you're in the relationship with the person.
Got it. Good.
Bill, were you curious on how your physical life purpose coward fits into that?
Yes, that was my next question.
What was the question?
How does a coward fit in with that?
The coward. So keep in mind that the coward archetype is, Carolyn Mace talks a lot about that. You should definitely listen to that again. She had a great thing about what was his name? John Wayne had the coward archetype. A lot of heroes have the coward archetype. You know, they're just like, you know, they will literally let themselves get beaten up and beaten up and beaten up and beaten up and beaten up. And they'll finally, they're going to say enough, you know, but they're not, the coward is, I will not go fight. I'm not just a fighter. You know, I'm not afraid to step down, let someone else have the limelight, do that. So I don't care. I'm here. That's not why I'm here. I'm not here to be tough or strong. And the coward is, I am afraid. I'm afraid of getting hurt. I don't want to get hurt. I won't do it. But at some point, that coward archetype then stands for what they stand for. And if you're standing for, you know, making sure that people have a really good life, I mean, it's like, you know, that, you know, that humbleness of the coward. The coward is a humble. I have that. That's a piece of, so like, coward, beggar, I got a couple of those things. And there's a real sort of like, you know, it's amazing. I've got the coward archetype and I spent 25 years in martial arts trying not to have it. You know, I remember the first time some kid said, outside, let's fight. And I was just like shaking, you know? And then I went out and I did it, but I was like, this is so crazy. And that's when I decided I was going to learn martial arts. Rather than realizing that I was not a fighter, I was never going to be a fighter. It took 25 years in martial arts to realize that what I was learning about was the life purpose line. I was never going to be a fighter. I've never had it in me. I've never wanted to, you know, punch someone in the jaw or punch, you know, anything like that. It's like, even when I could really do it, even when I was a second degree black belt, I could really do it. The last thing I would ever want to do is be to hurt somebody ever for any reason. And it just, and the idea of coming to blows with someone was just like, it's just like terrifying. You know, I would never want that. I had to be completely unconscious to get that. So actually, the next group is coming on here, so we need to go. But Bill, you got that, and we'll. So whoever didn't, Bill Schuler, you didn't get to go. Who else didn't get to go?
Deb, obviously, and
Deb. So just send me what you're thinking on your. Just send me an email and on those, and then you guys can talk about it as well. You know, how does that work? Because you can see what I'm doing with everybody, right? You just gotta get that when you understand that spiritual life purpose point, it's like, it's not a matter of sometimes I do this. It's all I do. Mm. Or I'm in shadow. Or I'm in the defense of that.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Cool.
And you have to love it. It's like, because if you don't love that thing that you do all the time, like what's going on? All right. So for everybody else who's just come on, I am going to Cam, Mike, everybody, I'm gonna drop this call. So you all come right back on. Okay. All right.
It's good to see you,
Joanne. We'll talk to you soon.
Jerome, bye.
Oh, wait a minute, everybody. I'll see you at Awaken, most of you.
Yes.
Bye.
Good to see everybody. Bye. Ciao.
Bye.
Bye, Joanne.